Welcome to Regardless. Regardless isn't just a word. It's a powerful mindset that helps you to overcome limiting beliefs, self-doubt, and stress. All very common hurdles on the journey from college graduation to thriving adulthood. As your host, Skylar Sorkin, my mission is to bring relevant guests to the table to answer some of our most burning questions about relationships, career, and life. Regardless is your go-to hub for tips and tools to keep you going, reminding you that you've got this, babe. If you're committed to navigating life's twists and turns with confidence and conviction, you found your home. Regardless is available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Welcome to Regardless, CJ. I am so excited that we're finally here.
I know. It's been a journey. Here we are.
It's been like 8 months, but like we're finally making it happen.
I'm excited. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Of course. It's going to be amazing. And I'm just so excited to introduce everyone to you. You're seriously a jack of all trades, CJ. And I look up to you in so many ways. And I'm happy. I appreciate you. And I'm so happy that we met on Instagram. Yeah. And seriously, what you're doing is incredible. I mean, you're an award-winning creative, you're a published author, a speaker, and you've been recognized by GQ, Forbes, Adweek for your work as a strategist. It's unbelievable. And you just came out with a book called The McGuire Method.
The McGuire Method,
Dude, absolutely. Unbelievable, the mission that you are going after and what you're creating for our generation. It's pretty amazing and powerful, and I want to hear about it. So
absolutely,
let's get into it. Let's do it.
Yeah, first of all, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Those are really nice words. Yeah, it was always my dream to write a book that you can physically hold.
Yeah.
So obviously, so many people are like, you should have an audiobook, and you should do this, and you should do that. But the main point was that I would be able to show my own creative work. Yeah. And that people can like flip open a book and have with them whenever they needed it. Especially now when so many things are digital. And with that digital aspect of our lives, we are missing that token that we can kind of have with us as a constant reminder. Yeah. So that's the reason why it is a book that I wanted to do. I've always wanted to write a book. I never thought it was gonna be a self-help book, but here we are. And I knew that with the skills, the experience that I accumulated over the years, I have worked with so many special people in this lifetime, from recognizable names that you would know to people you've never even heard of, from people that are at these really critical, crucial moments of their lives. And I was there to help them through things and to learn from them as well. So to be able to use that, create something that's a work of art, in my opinion, and have it be for anybody. I really wanted this to be a very thoughtful book. I spent 2 years writing it, 2020 to 2022. Obviously, those were very transformative years for everybody. So when people are like, what did you do during COVID? I'm one of those people that did a lot of shit. Like, I'm one of those people that a lot of shit. I wrote a book.
CJ, I look up to you. Props. And I couldn't agree more. Like, I think it's so special that it's actually like in writing, it's something that we can hold on to and look at and like feel and have that experience with the book, because it's so different than just like looking at a screen or scrolling and seeing someone talking. Like, there's a lot of power in that. So
I agree.
Snaps to you.
Snaps.
And I want to hear like, what made you write this book? Like, what is the problem that you're wanting to solve with this McGuire Method?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm all about paying it forward, contribution and inspiration. So that's the reason why I became a creative professional, because I always wanted to inspire people. I understood that I had a specific skill set and creativity. And as things were unfolding, man, I just wish I was like, wow, I wish there was like a formula, a strategy, simplified messaging. This comes from the land of being a strategist, right?
Absolutely.
So in advertising, if people don't know, you know this, but in advertising, there's a big psychological component to it. Because essentially what you're doing is you're crafting something that's very simple. It's complex behind the scenes, but very simple for your consumer or for the customer to appreciate, value, and want to spend a certain percentage of their life or their money to invest in something, right? So I had to like take all these complex ideologies and figure out how I can craft something that's very simplified. Like something that somebody that isn't quite interested in this type of thing, but they would understand it. And somebody that is looking to understand things better. And they're like, okay, nobody's ever said it quite like that. Then I wanted to look at what was happening in our world. Everything from from biases to sexism to racism to depression, and so much was going on. We ended up going through a collective traumatic experience where we could all see into each other's lives. I was going through COVID in Los Angeles. One of my best friends was going through it in New York. My family was going through it in Washington, D.C., Virginia, the DMV area. And I had other friends in Mexico. It was just, and so, but you can literally see what everybody was going through. And everybody was dealing with this issue in a very different way. So at the end of the day, this book became even more important. There was philosophies that I had in there and strategies that I had in there that I was like, oh shit, I really got to get this out there because it's becoming a bigger deal. Wow. Even the wellness community changed overnight. Now all of a sudden everybody wants to talk about mental health. We remember that?
Oh yeah.
Like you saw that, like,
oh yeah.
You know, it's a thing now.
And it's kind of funny because, like, for me, like, this has been my world growing up. Like, you know, my mom is a marriage and family therapist. Like, my dad is an executive team coach. Like, this is the dialogue and the conversation and the vocab that, like, is so, it's ingrained in me. So when people are, like, starting to talk about it and, like, I found this amazing thing called intentional dating. Right. Or, like, I'm like, dude, this is, like,
Well, yeah, and the issue is that there's a lot of pretenders out there.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of people that hear terms and they don't quite know what the definition is, and they hear and see it out of context. And little things, even like me sharing a meme, we talked about this before, but even me sharing a meme or you sharing a meme with me, somebody might use that language and it's setting off these sparks in our mind in a different way. We're going in a different direction than what's the actual intended use for it. So I really wanted to break down what's happening, how it's happening, why is it happening, and what can we do to overcome that, like right now and tomorrow. So this is for anybody that's like, they feel like, if you feel like you're killing it, read this book, because this will give you even more of a window of like how you can kill it even more. If you feel like you're just drowning, you're just like, I cannot figure out what's going on with specific things or just the overall aspect of life, this book is for you.
Oh, CJ, freaking awesome. And I love when I was like looking into your book and reading more about it and also reading it, I love your messaging and how you just flat out say, like, the world is fucked.
Yeah.
And
like, yeah.
It's so true. Like, retweet. Retweet. It's sad. And it's when we look
it's
at
it, it's complicated.
It's so complicated. Yeah. And it gets really confusing because, like you said, anyone can have the mic.
Yeah.
And so it's like,
anyone can have the mic. That's the problem. Yeah.
It's absolutely. Like, where am I getting my information? What am I taking in? What is affecting my self-worth? There's so many things that are triggered from social media and what we're scrolling through every single day. And it's really draining and exhausting.
It's very exhausting. So I'm glad that you said that, because when I wrote this book, I you know, I definitely intentionally put in messaging on how you can verify sources and how you can, like, what you can do and take that extra step, right? And it's great advice, but also at the same time, it's harder now. Because to your point, now that's a task. Essentially what's happening is our minds are performing extra duties all the time to function properly. And by the end of the day, we are so tired and exhausted and drained. Like, we literally want to zone out. And what and how do we zone out? Well, for a lot of us, it's streaming. For a lot of us, it's more social media, not knowing that that's media that we're digesting. So we're literally feeding the beast. We're not actually taking a time out. So one of the things that I was even learning was that out of the biggest fears that people have, out of like the fear of death, the fear of speaking in front of a large audience, now the biggest fear that we have is sitting alone with our own thoughts for 15 minutes. Like, that's the biggest fear that people have. That's the thing that people struggle with. But that's the thing that we need
so
to do.
Sad.
Yeah.
I'm actually, like, I'm shocked, but I'm not shocked.
Yeah.
I feel like it's interesting. Like, I'm wondering if COVID was the catalyst to that change.
Ooh, good question. I think that it's an evolution of a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
It is that fact that, like, we are overly stimulated. So then when we finally do calm down, it does feel like something is wrong. We aren't giving ourselves the grace of time. That's another thing, because again, so much information is being thrown at us that we kind of feel like something is wrong. So, like, even us feeling sad, like, for example, people are really trying to do this thing where they avoid sadness, they avoid the emotional pain, the physical pain of things, but that's life. Like, that's inevitable. So essentially what you need to do is you need to practice being okay with that and understanding the big picture, which is that it's only going to pass.
Yep. Yep.
In fact, scientifically speaking, this is not, if it lasts more than like a couple of minutes, then yes, something is very wrong. But you're not, even if you like were to sit with a problem for like less than 3 minutes and you were to be like, man, that's a problem. That's a problem. Man, that's a problem.
Yeah,
that's a problem. You're going to get, it's eventually going to be less of a problem when you just do that for 3 minutes.
Absolutely.
It's just thinking about things. So when I developed the McGuire method, I said to myself, okay, let's simplify this. Four principles. And each of those principles, they have steps. It's more complicated. I have examples. I cite examples. But I wanted to make it very simple. Ask a good question. Mm. So principle one, questions. Principle two, reflecting. Principle three, actions. Principle four, habits. Forming a good habit has never been more important today than ever in history.
Wow.
Ever.
Can you share why and like break that down for us?
Yeah, absolutely.
And do you think it is related to social?
It's related to intentionality.
Okay.
It's something that we were discussing before. It's that intended action. And what's happening is we're experimenting so much with so many different things, we're not giving ourselves the time to form it into a habit. That's the problem. So again, even if we were to take a step back, being still, okay? So if I were to do that right now, and I'm like, I'm listening to this, I'm watching this podcast. You're right. I'm going to practice being still. You turn it off.
Yeah.
For 15 minutes, you're like, okay, I did that. Are you going to be able to do it tomorrow and the day after and the day after and the day after? And you might start to do it for a few days and then you'll get bored. Or you might do it once or twice and then you'll get bored. And then you'll be like, this doesn't work for me, but I tried it. And then you'll move on to the next thing. Not knowing that the whole point is that the intended action and the purpose of it is for you to take out a timeout. Yes.
This is super interesting.
Yes.
And now I'm seeing this directly correlate to, you know, being an entrepreneur.
Absolutely.
And how quickly things move on social and like keeping up with everything. Holy F. Like, how, and I know I'm asking so many questions.
You're
and I think this topic is so freaking deep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's connected to anything. Like, even speaking about like being intentional, like, then we look at, you know, intentional dating and dating with the dating apps.
Yeah.
I think a lot of those principles that you were just talking about, or like just the situation of people not being able to stick with trying something out for a duration of time, like kind of like the slow burn of things.
Yes.
People get bored and they want to jump ship.
Yeah. Well, it feels, what it is that there's so much instant gratification and then there's so many choices that it feels like something is wrong. So in other words, it's easy for you to be alone with someone. And after a amount of time, you're like, you know what? No sparks anymore. I'm not getting butterflies in my stomachs anymore. I don't think that this works for me anymore. I don't think I love you anymore. I don't think this... I think we got to break up. I don't think this is going to work. And you're not even realize that actual science, actual data is that a long-term partner isn't sparks, isn't butterflies.
Hell no.
Like there's like it literally science says that runs out after a year and a half. So if you haven't even given it a year and a half, you haven't even given it 2 years, then in reality, like you're not even conducting the experiment of love properly, right? So a healthy partnership, again, science, there's centuries, like just throughout history, it's there. But it's all about who are you willing to grow old with, grow with, learn with, laugh with, somebody that you can trust and confide in. Because then one day, those sparks will come back.
Yeah.
One day, those butterflies will come back, and then it'll leave again, and then it'll come back. And that's just life. Because you change, I change. Change is inevitable.
Yeah.
Inevitable. Change will always happen, especially outside of our control. So what's happening right now is we think we have control over it and we don't.
Super powerful stuff. Yeah. And I think it's so sad, like especially looking at Gen Z specifically. Mm-hmm. I just read an article this morning, which is so crazy that Gen Zers are becoming, I forget what it's called, but it's like a term called NEET or something where they don't have 9-to-5s. They're not going to college. And I think it's this like sense of not wanting to settle for like fear of getting bored or there's just a negative stigma around being in corporate. Mm-hmm. And it's like, where are we going? And I think the catalyst is social media and our addiction to it.
I agree.
This like you know, instant gratification, like you were saying.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I were to, because you mentioned dating apps, like if yeah. I were to talk about that for a second.
Totally.
Dating, like, that's like a great microcosm of what's happening. When dating apps were created,
yep.
It was kind of awesome because you're like, oh shit, like I can like select and curate like some shit based off of an algorithm. I don't know how the algorithm works. I just don't know how it works.
Yeah.
And by the way, all these dating apps are like, trust us. This is actually your type. And it started to freak people out because they're like, wait, I'm not, how do you know that's my type?
Yeah,
and they're like, we have the science behind it. We like, you don't even know who your type is. That right there is a very interesting window into people not quite knowing that consciously how they move.
Mm.
And that takes practice.
What do you mean by how they move?
If you're not even clear on what you're attracted to.
I see.
Right?
Yep.
You think you know, but an algorithm is literally telling you the truth of like, hey, you're actually kind of into this. You know why? Mm. Because we're seeing you swipe on specific looking people. We see you swipe on other specific looking people. We see when you stop, read. And by the way, they have to. Otherwise, they'd be out of business.
Yeah.
Now, let's take it a step further. So people used to get on there for their, maybe search for their soulmate. This might be the person, right?
Yeah.
Now people are on there to stroke their ego.
Thank you.
I'm on this app because I went through this breakup, or, you know, Kyle doesn't like me anymore, or like, oh, fuck Jess. Like, I'm going to show her. And, you know, you get on an app and you swipe and you get the.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I'm hot again. I'm so sexy. And then you realize, oh, shit, I just entered a social contract by swiping right in, and then they swipe right on me. Mm. I have to say something. So this is why. Like people say, hey, how is it? How's it going? Or they take long time, long stretches of communication, or they just ghost, or they unmatch.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm guilty of that too.
Absolutely.
We all do.
We all do.
But again, why are you on there in the first place? Mm. Now, here's another thing. Let's take it a step further. Now, dating apps are suffering and not going out of business, but their retention and their signups are dropping like a stone. Why? Because now people understand, if I'm on a dating app, I'm not really serious about dating. Now, I don't know what that means because nobody wants to talk to each other anymore.
Yeah.
So people are just kind of like, I just won't do it at all. I would rather just hang out with my friends, or I'm just going to figure this out. I like the fact that people are trying to figure it out. I do like that. But that just comes to show you how much things have changed and evolved, that now we're on these apps for us, for our ego.
Yep.
And we have to release the ego. People have a really hard time with that only because we all have a story. There's a narrative. Human beings are great storytellers. Mm-hmm. We all have a story that we like to tell ourselves.
Yeah.
And we're always the hero of our story. Even when we're wrong, we're the hero of our story. Like, we have amazing excuses for things. You know, I could like curse somebody out for no reason. And I'd be like,
and you like make it fine.
And I'm
head.
Like, well, you know, they pushed me. They, you know, they did this to me. They made me feel this way. And it's like, dude, like take ownership that you fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, apologize and like take anger management class.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, take ownership of it. We're so afraid and scared of the truth. Mm. And what it is, what it feels like physically is it feels like a rush of adrenaline that's like anxiety induced when somebody breaks that reality that you put out there. And what we look for is we look for like confirmation biases, right? So we look for like something else to prove our point, and to like, that brings us a sigh of relief. Now, the way that you should be moving, right, is that you should understand that like the world is populated with billions of people, billions of different personalities, billions of different like cultural backgrounds and walks of life.
Yeah.
So it's inevitable that people are not going to see things the way that you are. Accept that. Also accept acceptance and letting go of the fact that like you might be wrong. Like, you might be wrong about a lot of things. As a person of color and the way that I move and the way that I go through my life, there's been plenty of times where people are surprised, like completely surprised by my presence. Just surprised that like I speak the way that I do, and that like I move the way that I do, or that I'll shake someone's hand, or that I have like a diverse group of friends. And like, because their biases, racial biases, was that all these stereotypes that are untrue. Mm. And by the way, that happens for women. That happens for everybody.
Absolutely.
It happens for
everybody.
You know, like, oh, blondes are stupid. Okay, well, I know very intelligent blondes. That's not true. You know, just all sorts of biases. And what we have to do is we have to go out of our way to explore life and different walks of life in order to release ourselves from the biases. That's what we have to do. And even with social media, like you were saying,
yep.
we have to be intentional about our use, because what's happening is we're overusing and we're being overstimulated to so many things. This is not a conscious thing. So nobody should be like, what am I doing on TikTok? You know, it's like, you know what I mean? No, nobody should be looking at it.
You know that you did that to yourself.
Yeah, you know it. And by the way, it's like, that's not the issue. The issue is not that you're on TikTok. The issue is that you might be consuming too much TikTok. The issue is that the social media's job. In fact, everybody's job is to increase retention, increase profitability. Okay? That's just business economics 101. Doesn't matter what it is. You go to a restaurant, if they have good food, good service, then they want you to keep coming back and recommend it to other people so they grow in profitability. With social media is not designed for you to like stroke your ego or for you to find out what's going on through other people. No, it's a business. They can't make their money unless they advertise to you. They understand, because the world has changed and evolved, you can't do it the same way you would do it on a TV or a radio station. You can do it differently. So maybe CJ is like promoting a product and you look up to CJ. So like that's where the whole influencer economy becomes. It's a multi-billion dollar.
And
you know this.
Oh, yeah.
Multi-billion dollar sector in advertising.
Crazy.
And it's literally the water cooler. It's just literally word of mouth. It just looks different. So this is what happens. This is what's happening. Older generations look at social media like a fad.
Oh, yeah.
They're just kind of like, oh, you know, social media. Younger generations are like, oh, I can make this. I can make a profit. I can turn this into an economical like situation for me. I can change things up because I know that it's only a matter of time before I strike gold. It is like gambling, like a slot machine. That is what it's like when you're scrolling. That's the reason why it's called a scroll. Is
because so interesting.
Even the loading is like purposely done. It clicks something in your brain to anticipate what happens next.
CJ, I've never thought of that.
Yeah, that's
I'm learning a lot right now.
That's the reason why it's designed the way that it's designed. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Like it doesn't have to load. That is like that's something that they put there so you can be like,
yeah, next. What happens next?
And then you want to do it again.
Yeah.
And you want to do it again. And it's all because, again, not consciously, you know that like I might stumble onto something that I'm going to really enjoy.
Like might, but I like might. That rarely happens.
Rarely happens these days. Yeah. So to your point, you need to be on social media at specific moments in time during your day. Like if you want to check it 3 times a day, that's fine. 5 times a day, that's fine. 1 time a day, that's fine. Because I don't think that works when you do this whole thing of like, I'm just not going to be on it for a few days. It's like,
it doesn't really work.
It doesn't work because we've already entered a social contract. Yeah. Like this is the world that we live in. But what you can do is you can mitigate the times of use. So you can say to yourself, hey, when I'm feeling really shitty, maybe that's not the best time to like get on social media.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And understand your the rhythms of your body. I talk about that in my book, but understand super the rhythms cool. of your body, right? So when you're like super inspired and you're like, yeah, you know, pay attention to how social media makes you feel as well. Pay attention to what you're curating. So one of the things that I did, and we were talking off camera, but I'm bringing this up now.
I love it.
Is that I love radical experiments.
Yeah.
So I'm a very visual person. I love mood boards and I love vision boards and I love scripting. And I love journaling, and this is a daily practice for me, and I love affirmations and all that stuff. And mostly just to see what works and what doesn't. Sometimes I get bored with certain things, sometimes not. But one of the things that I discovered unintentionally was like, I like mood boards on Pinterest. I'm like, I will use Pinterest as mood boards.
I love that.
That's super smart, right? And I will save posts on Instagram as mood boards. I'm like, duh, makes sense. Over time, something started to happen to me that I didn't quite click. I didn't quite understand the correlation. But I started to feel like I wasn't doing enough. And I started to feel like, okay, I'm taking this shot that doesn't quite look the way that they did it. And I'm at this coffee shop and I go to coffee shops all the time. But why am I not catching the same vibe that this person caught? And then I realized, oh shit, like I'm trying to mirror these things that I have nothing to do with. Why would I be saving a post about David Beckham? I'm not fucking David Beckham. Why would my mood board be about a beautiful picnic in fucking Costa Rica? I live in LA. One day I will do that. But what I understood was that I was like, oh, you know what? This is the evolution of what that looks like. So what I did was I took a mental snapshot of each image and then I deleted it. And I said, from now on, I am going to lean into the best version of what I imagine my life look like without influence. And I'm going to be intentional about the actions that I take. Around that same time, I was like, man, I'd love to plan like a romantic getaway trip with someone, you know, like that'd be kind of cool. Why not? Well, let's do that.
Yeah, it's cute.
And, and scheduling didn't really quite work out. And I was like, well, I guess I'll just like, you know, hang out. Like I'll just do what I normally do. You know, I live in Los Angeles. There's plenty of shit to do. And then I said to myself, no, I should leave. I should go on that trip. And for me, one of my biggest dreams and fantasies ever since I was young, I have no idea why, was to like trek through the wilderness on my own, hiking mountains,
beautiful
snow summits, that kind of thing, and like meditating at a temple, you know, just really
My story too.
Yes, absolutely,
like an eat, pray, love moment.
Exactly.
Like we all need that.
Yeah. I do, and I love traveling. I love adventure. It's a part of my DNA. And I said to myself, okay, well, you know, I'll just go to Mexico or I go to Canada. But by the way, I've been to all these places.
Yeah.
So I was like, no. And I talked about this with a friend.
Costa.
I'm going to go to Costa Rica. Never been to Costa Rica. I'm not. Now, here's a couple of things that is very interesting to know about me. I don't like the jungle. I've never liked the jungle. No. Yeah.
Wait, that's super surprising.
It's super. Right. I know. I there's all sorts of reasons why it's for people. And I used to live on an island. I used to live on the Marshall Islands at one point in time.
Yeah.
If people aren't familiar with Marshall Islands, it's an area in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
Beautiful.
That the Japanese took from the indigenous. Then we took it from the Japanese in World War II. Never gave it back. That's where we test our missile defense. That's where SpaceX was launched and testing their missiles. It's a 3-mile island that's long, 1-mile island that's wide.
Your background is so fascinating. It's pretty insane. We could talk about it for like 5 hours. Like literally. It's amazing. Seriously.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. And seriously, I did live in a jungle and like I hated it. I hated humidity. I hated the bugs. I hated not knowing what was out there. It really freaked me out. And then the thought of Costa Rica with like snakes and shit.
Yeah, and like
I was
sloths
just like,
and
yeah, monkeys. Yeah, I was just like
scorpions.
I was like, none of that sounds fucking appealing to me at all. None of it does. And just like adventuring in the jungle. I'm like, fuck that. No, thank you. Excuse me. Not interested.
I love it. No, I love it.
So I said, yeah, I'll just go to Costa Rica.
Regardless, you went.
I was like, no, I want the challenge.
Okay, love that.
I want the challenge. I made the decision on Monday to go to Costa Rica. I left for Costa Rica that Thursday. Mm. I booked a treehouse in the middle of the rainforest, miles away from the nearest town. Literally, they had to drop off food, drop off coffees. Like, I had to walk miles to, like, or not, it wasn't a mile to the hotel base, but it was like, it was a base where it was just literally like, we have stuff in a refrigerator if you're like thirsty kind of situation.
Oh, it's like a treehouse.
Oh, no, I was in an actual treehouse.
Okay, like this is not a hotel.
No, this is not a hotel. No, this is me in a treehouse.
CJ.
Just for me. Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Yeah. And here I am alone.
Mm.
And every single person, every local, every friend, everybody was like, You're going to Costa Rica alone? Yeah. You're doing this alone? And I was like, but that was always the dream. Yeah. That was my vision board, not somebody else's. Mm. That was mine. And here I am, hear the jungle noises. I'm like, this is why I hate the jungle. It's humid. I'm hot. I'm sweaty. It's raining. And I'm hiking. And I have a dog with me. Bug was the name
of
the dog.
So cute.
And Bug's with me. And as I'm hiking through the jungle, all the weird noises. And I'm like, I gotta make sure to get back before sunset, you know? Like that kind of shit. Like I was in a horror movie. I was like, I gotta get back home at a certain time.
That's so funny.
I go to a waterfall, or there's a detour. You go left, there's a waterfall. You go right, there's a river. So first I go left, and I go up to the waterfall with Buck. And then I go to the river. And as I'm hiking back, I go, holy shit, like, whoa, I'm a fucking badass.
Whoa.
Did I just literally G up? Like, did I just literally go to a place I did not want to go? And I saw a waterfall. Yeah. I'm hiking with a dog. Like, I'm sweating. I'm like, maybe I should just journal and read or play some music.
Yes.
And then I'm like, wait, why don't I just sit here and like, like, this is actually pretty cool. And then once night hit and all the crazy, scary sounds of the jungle, and I'm like in the middle.
It's crazy.
I hear everything I could play for you. It was just insane. And I was just like, this is kind of scary. And the first night, I was kind of like, this is kind of, not a lot of great sleep because I could hear the jungle noise. I was just literally like, holy shit. And then the bugs were kind of somehow working
their
way.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow the bugs and the,
oh yeah,
it was just working. You know, I was waking up with a fucking beetle, like, you know, that kind of shit. And I was fine. I survived it.
Yeah.
I thrived. it was awesome. And my whole point in saying that is not to gas myself up. My whole point is to say, you have to face your fears. You have to overcome mm-hmm. these challenges. You have to have some level of acceptance of who you are. You have to be intentional about disconnecting mm-hmm. and removing yourself from these issues, mm-hmm. right? And we have to be better problem solvers, not better ruminators. You might be going through shit and you might know why. And you're like, I just need to take out some time and understand why. I need to take out some time and be like, what's happening? Yes, absolutely. Give yourself that grace. That is where questions and reflections to first mm-hmm. core principles of the McGuire Method come into play. Now, you have to be better about the questions you ask yourself. Mm. It is not, why is this happening? It is not, why is this happening to me? It is not, this is so unfair. What did I do wrong?
Very victim mindset.
You're setting yourself up
yep.
for failure. That's what you're doing.
Absolutely.
Why not take it a different route and set yourself up for success? Hey, this relationship is not working. This really fucking sucks. I don't know what I did wrong. I don't know why this person doesn't love me. No. Ask yourself, what are the lessons that I should be learning about mm-hmm. being a better partner? Or this didn't work out. That sucks. It really does suck. It hurts a lot. Maybe I should write out what I want next. Mm. And you don't even need to go down this path of like, they did this. Right, let me make a list of all the reasons why they suck.
Yeah.
Like you can do that too. But in reality, if you chose to be with somebody and it didn't work out, you still chose to be with that person. It just didn't work out. That doesn't mean they're a terrible fucking human being. It doesn't. If there's abuse, get it. That I'm not talking about.
Totally
that.
Different
I'm just talking
situation.
About like
yeah.
a situation where it's just like it didn't work out. But of course, I've had those conversations with people where they're like, you know, I'm better off, or like, you know, I know that they don't deserve me. It's like, look, you love them, mm-hmm. you liked them. You were attracted to them at one point in time. You thought the world of them at one point in time, and it did not work out, and that's okay. You should wish that they discover whatever they needed to discover
Absolutely.
And move on. Mm-hmm. And you too. So let's talk about that.
Super
maybe you're
cool.
maybe you're in a job situation and it fucking sucks, mm-hmm. and you're like, what do I do? I hate this. It takes so much time and energy. I hate it. I hate it so much. It's so draining. And all you do is complain about your job. It's okay to complain about your job. It is. It's okay to accept that it sucks. But wouldn't it be better to be like, this is what I don't like and this mm-hmm. is what I want. This is what I'm looking for. Mm. And you know what? Maybe that time that I'm spending complaining about it, I'll do a job search.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, sometimes that is overwhelming for people. So why not just say, I'm going to spend 10 minutes a day working towards this. Maybe you spend a whole week on your mm-hmm. resume instead of you being like, okay, I'm going to power through this for a few hours or a day, because that's setting yourself up for failure too. That's also the reason why people feel overextended and burnout, is that a lot of us are saying, hey, you know what? I'm listening to this. You're right. I need to stop what I'm doing. I need that positive loop. Mm-hmm. I need to put that action in. Well, guess what? If you don't ask the right questions and you don't reflect on it, then you're going to take massive missteps in mm-hmm. action. That is one of the reasons why people take the wrong courses of action, is because they
super interesting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And sure, you've gone through that. It's like, it's like the power through mentality. And again, that's reinforced by the narrative that we tell ourselves, because you think of yourself as weak if you can't overcome this adversity. Right. But in reality, you're not even being crafty and intelligent about this and using common sense, which is, you know what? It's hard to write a resume. It is. Maybe you give yourself a couple of minutes, a couple of hours, whatever that intentional time is, and curate an environment for you. Like, take yourself out of the mundane environments that you're in to give yourself an extra spark.
I love that.
And just try to make that a continuous habit.
Yep.
And that's a game changer.
I cannot agree more. Like, that's been everything for me. And I love how you reframe these questions, because I think what's happening here is like you're going from being in like this fixed mindset mm-hmm. to like growth mm-hmm. and taking radical responsibility and agency like over Absolutely. Your own life.
Absolutely.
Okay. So what I think is going on, and correct me if I'm wrong, but mm-hmm. I'm feeling like, especially in Gen Z, like mm-hmm. kids my age, mm-hmm. I'm seeing a lot of people like kind of take this backseat in life mm-hmm. versus like taking radical responsibility over your life.
Yeah.
And like how you confront adversity.
Yes.
Do you face it? Do you sit with it?
Yes.
Do you talk to support system? Like, I don't think a lot of people, A, realize this mm-hmm. or are too lazy to like make those changes.
Yeah. You know, I always, that's interesting because I always try to give people the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
In reality, there's no consequences to our actions. Not always, but for the most part, we don't feel the consequences of our actions. So there isn't a need for radical change, right? You don't know what you don't know, right? So think of it this way, and I'll use this as an example. Let's say that like you start dating somebody and you're like, I'm not feeling it anymore.
Yeah.
You can ghost them and block them.
Yeah.
You can literally pretend that they don't exist.
Not that anymore. You should.
But I write a whole section in my book about why you shouldn't ghost. Do not ghost. And I'll tell you why that's a bad thing and what you can do instead of. So you're not having to face any sort of adversity. So you ghost somebody. And then you go to a coffee shop. Let's say you go to a coffee shop or, you know, you get some breakfast, you know, you get a latte. Yeah. And then you're like, you know, you get that under 10 minutes. And then maybe you get an Uber ride and you're literally sitting in the back seat. You don't have to drive. You don't have to do anything. And then if you decide, you know, I'm just going to go home and like binge watch something. All of that is distracting you from the fact that like you literally just took the easiest way out and there's no consequences.
Wow.
Now, depression is rising because then when things don't go wrong, right? We don't know how to deal with it because we never face adversity. We never took agency of things. Also, our skills are being like diluted because we're not being forced.
We're not being tested.
We're not being tested.
Or we're not putting ourselves in the fire.
Absolutely. I'm glad that you said that. The best way to look at it is that you decided I'm not going to take the test. And the teacher is like, if you don't take the test, you're going to fail. And you're like, yeah, okay. I don't believe in school anyway. I don't care. You're not realizing that the whole point of the test is to challenge yourself, overcome the challenge. If you do not, learn why you did not, and then do it again. Now, that increases what you're doing. That increases who you are. There's levels to this shit. You know, people don't know what that means when they hear that. Let me tell you this right now. This levels to this. You date somebody and it doesn't work out. If you learn from the experience and you say, I'm sorry it didn't work out. This sucks. This hurts a lot.
It's hurt, yeah.
But you learn that lesson, the next person you date, better.
Yeah.
Maybe that doesn't work out, but the next person, better. Now, when you don't learn the lesson, that's where you slide. That's where it's like, what? I did. Because by the way, the law of averages, it's inevitable that you're going to run into a challenge that you've never seen before. And you're going to be like, what did I do wrong? Dude, it's a challenge. The whole point of life, if you really look at it that way, is that there's these challenges that are going to come and you have to be able to overcome them. Yeah. It's a test of who you are. Yeah. That is why at the very, very beginning of my book and the very, very first thing I say to everybody is understand your values, your beliefs, and your boundaries. And you need to know the difference between all three. What people do is they like to lie to themselves and to other people when that comes up.
Yeah.
What do they do? I know. I said boundaries the other day. I told somebody to fuck off. No. A boundary is not to stop somebody from doing something. A boundary is to grow and let somebody, it's actually you opening up to someone because now they know who you are and where you stand. So when you say I'm setting a boundary, blah, 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 blah. Like, dude, you're setting a boundary so they understand you better. You're not setting a boundary so you can tell them to fuck off. That's not the same. And by the way, that's how you know if you're actually setting a boundary or you're being selfish. That's a good way to understand it, right? Absolutely.
Super cool.
I'm setting boundaries by, you know, I'm not going to talk to you on Thursday night. No. What you're doing is you're literally like blocking me. But a boundary is like, hey, I got to talk to you on Thursday night because, you know, on Thursdays, it's a pretty heavy day for me. And, you know, I need some time to myself. Wow. Thank you for telling me that. Now, moving forward, you will never have to worry about me bothering you. And if I do intrude on that boundary, you can set me straight again. And then that's how you can get to that point where you're like, that person shouldn't be in my life anymore. When you write down your boundaries, you write down your values, write down your beliefs, you know the difference between all of them. Then it gives you something of a mission statement.
Beautiful.
Then you understand why you need to get in the front seat. Then you understand why you like to get in the back seat. But if you don't know why and you don't understand that about yourself, then how do you expect other people to know anything about you? How do you expect to get far in life? How? If you don't even know yourself, know thyself. That's why we meditate. That's why we journal. That's why we do all these things. It isn't a fad. And by the way,
God, no.
It's not to take the pain away.
No.
Please, I'm so sorry, everyone. It's not to take the pain away. It's to embrace the pain and understand that it's not supposed to cripple you. That's CJ. It. That's it.
I love this. And I just want to speak to, like, I think it's so cool that we met because I think our missions are so similar. And I'm all about, regardless of how scary it is, regardless of the fear that's showing up, I'm going to step into the fire, step into the unknown, and fight for my future self because I love myself.
Absolutely.
And on the other edge of that, on the other side of that is the growth.
Is the growth.
Is how you build confidence. Yeah. Is how you step into your own and create mm-hmm. deep connections and mm-hmm. inspire. Mm-hmm. And what I'm seeing, which is really sad, is that a lot of people, especially like Gen Zers, I don't think grasp this.
There's the grace of like youth. And like when you're young, you know, you're inexperienced.
Absolutely.
And then yeah. and then when you have time and experience on your side, then you can look back and be like, man, wow. But you are, can I be honest? You're supposed to fuck up. You're supposed to not
totally,
know the answers.
Totally.
But the thing is to your point, you have to be able to, if you're not willing to embrace all of life's challenges, I'm just telling you this right now, you're going to be in a world of hurt.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, if I were you, I would be proactive about taking on challenges. Mm. Because then you're learning who you are and you're actually like you're testing the type of character you are.
I love it.
We need to understand what type of characters we are. Let me take it a step back. We love storytelling. If you are truly the hero of your story, a hero's journey always faces challenges.
Oh, yeah.
A hero's journey hits rock bottom, then they rise to the occasion. It's always unexpected. There's always twists and turns. There's always a love interest. There's always like a time in a story where it does like kind of like slow down and you're like, what am I doing? And then there's a time yeah. where things speed up.
Yeah.
So if you truly are a hero, if you truly are the hero of your story, why would you not want to be tested? And who are you? What kind of character are you? Mm. Understand that about yourself. It's okay. I have some friends that are very passive.
Yeah.
And it drives the rest of us so nuts. We're those.
We're very similar. Like we're type A.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like
absolutely.
High achievers, like yes. very aware.
But what I appreciate about all of them that are in my life is like they get it. Like they're like, I am the passive one. You are going to be the one that has to do that. But I understand my role and I understand that like, oh, you know what? I actually do like that. Like that, I like that
you
about
take
me.
Take the lead. I can have the mic. It is cool to see how your friendships that. Form around that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And like kind of be okay with that and like play to each other's strengths.
Yes. And one of the things that we have to understand is like, and we talk about social media, we talk about all these other things. You have to curate an inner environment. Mm. That's where the beliefs, boundaries, values, questions, reflection element of things. Mm. And then you have to curate an external environment. Now, when I wrote this book, I'm thinking about this person that's like in New York in a cramped apartment and they got to get on the subway. They don't have time for all this shit. And then I also thought about the person that lives in Malibu and like they have nothing but like, why don't I just meditate today? Maybe go surfing. I don't even figure it out, you know? And then I think about people that don't know about any of these types of skills and they don't even know what that looks like or how to do it. Essentially what I'm saying is create something for your inner self. That's going to be like, okay, like, I'm not very good at this. Like, I need to figure out a way to think about that. Think about it. And by the way, when you have your values, principles, boundaries, what they do is they're like a guiding post.
It's like a compass.
It's a compass.
It's like an inner GPS.
It's an energy compass. So, like, let's say if you value loyalty.
Yeah.
You're like, I value loyalty. Okay, cool. So what you would do is you would explore how are you loyal? How are you showing up for that? And how do you expect others to show up for you with that value that you put so much emphasis on?
Beautiful.
Correct?
Correct.
So when you're curating an environment in your inner self, that's curating that environment. Mm. Now, the external environment is the toughest part. This is where people, like, this is why you scroll on social media, to disconnect.
Yep.
Because your external environment isn't quite matching up with what you want, right? This is also how mood boards can get us in trouble, which I mentioned before. Because if you have this, like, you know, this is what I want to manifest. Nothing
it's
wrong
with that.
It's
not even achievable and it's yes. not even correlated to you and what's like actually
yes,
relevant.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Super powerful that super, you said that.
So what you want to do is you want to physically put yourself in environments mm-hmm. that do match what that looks like. And the reason why is what you're doing to your brain is you're training your brain. Mm-hmm. You're retraining your brain. So again, good example. What does that mean? So let's say that you live in a very small, cramped apartment and you're like, I work from home. I'm remote. This fucking sucks. I'm depressed. There's no windows in my room. Okay. Step outside. Get that fresh air on your skin and go work at a park. Go work somewhere for just a little bit of time that you always dreamed of seeing that's in walking distance or driving distance. Yeah. Skip the subway. Grab an Uber. Spend that extra money. It's a challenge.
Yep.
And you're seeing literally what it looks like to be in that space. It's the same reason why travel is so huge, because people are like, yeah, fuck it. I want to go to Italy. I've always dreamed of it. But maybe you don't have those resources. Maybe you can't do that right now. Maybe you're not going to have that mansion right now. That's fine. Some people, they love open houses because they're like, I just want to walk around.
Oh, yeah, that's super fun.
I just want to walk around. This is my dream. People that sell houses, they know that. That's the whole point. They want you to dream, because then they know one day you're going to work really hard to try to achieve that dream. So you're not, this isn't foul. You're not violating anything. You're not cheating. You feel me?
Totally.
So again, when we talk about like a resume, maybe go somewhere that's out of the ordinary. But you're like, I was always interested in going that
Change
spot.
Up your environment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just doing that, just that little simple action. If you form that type of action into a habit. Mm. Now, I did the research. I've heard everything of forming habits go 30 days, 45 days, 60 days, 90 days, 120 days. You can't form
a habit. What's the magic number?
The magic number seems to be around 45.
Okay.
So I think 30 is too short, like 2 months, month and a half. And I think that's because like you're getting over the honeymoon stage of trying something new. You've done it enough where you've overcome the boredom of it as well. So you want to look for like 45-day challenges. Yeah, 45-day challenges. And it's hard. It's not easy, but it will get easier over time. You will, and you'll see the benefits too. It's the same, like I love the gym analogy because people.
Oh, but like how to build muscle?
Not even just how to build muscle, but like everybody's intentionality, especially in the day and age we live in, is like I want to dress better.
Yeah.
I want to look better because we're doing all these like unconscious comparisons to one another, right? Mm-hmm. So the funny part is like gyms love this because they're like, okay, end of the year. Beginning of the year.
Oh, yeah, how they market.
Woo! Yeah. This is when everybody comes in. We know they're not going to stick with it, but they're going to be stuck anyway with the membership. They're going to pay not to come. Who cares? They don't give a shit if you show up or not. When you first start going, you're like, yes! And you're, yeah, here I am! And then after a while, you're like, oh, I'm bored.
Yeah.
And then after a while, you're like, oh, I'm too tired. And then not realizing that's when you should be working out. If you were to stick with it, usually afterwards you feel great.
Absolutely.
Right?
The hardest part is getting yourself there.
So 45 days of you feeling great.
Yeah.
45 days of you testing yourself. 45 days of you saying like, I didn't want to do it, but I did it. Checking it off the calendar. Next thing you know, you're going to look in the mirror and be like, oh, damn, I look good.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize that.
I think this is amazing because like this metaphor can be used in any aspect of life, whether it is trying to get off TikTok or Instagram and like really turn inward. So I think it's beautiful.
And again, when you understand who you are, that inner environment. Yep. I think that also answers a little bit of the social media aspect of things. Why? Because you might say to yourself, for me, you know what I like to do is like, I'm like, you know what? I actually want to be very mindful about where I get my information from.
Okay, CJ, I'm introducing you to a section of my podcast that we like to call Syllabus Steps. Okay. And this is a time for us to really recap all of the juiciness that you shared with us tonight. And I don't know, just thinking about your journey and writing the Maguire method, and really, you know, we've spoken about a lot today, you know, how social media is impacting our mental health, really what's going on in our generation with just taking radical responsibility with our mental space and like stepping up to the plate. And I'm curious, like, are there any specific steps or tools or resources or books other than the Maguire method that have helped you in like just protecting your mental space?
Yes, absolutely. So what I like to do is I like to balance the spirituality aspect of things with science. So obviously Andrew Huberman, Huberman Labs, and Discussing Neuroscience.
Yep.
Love him.
Love him.
I have a friend, Emily McDonald, M on the Brain. She also discusses neuroscience. She does very bite-sized videos versus Andrew Huberman, where he has like these long conversations. Yep. So depending on what you like better, I would definitely recommend those two. I would also recommend, I know this sounds like a little bit interesting, but I would look at the Harvard Business Review.
Cool.
It's really good if you start to understand a little bit more of like the statistics and the Pew Research Center. Why? Because it's good that you understand the demographics and statistics about what's going on in the world. And those are two really awesome, reputable sources where you can find out how the world is changing. And maybe that might unpack a couple of confirmation biases that you might have, because then you'll be able to see the statistics.
Love that.
And data, right? And as far as like spirituality is concerned, there's a bunch of different people out there. But I think I like Therapy in a Nutshell. That's on YouTube.
It's awesome.
Therapy in a Nutshell is good. You know Therapy in a Nutshell?
Yep, I do.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Amazing.
She has very practical insights. And what I would stay away from is I would stay away from language that's too biased and too niche. So for example, maybe you watch these YouTube videos of like a psychologist and they're always talking about narcissists. That's not very healthy for you. Why? because they know that if they keep talking about narcissism and just through a different lens, then they keep you engaged and you keep coming back. Mm. What you want to do is you want to learn different aspects of different things, right?
Super helpful.
Absolutely.
So give me an example, like within, you know, narcissism is a great one, but like mm-hmm. how would you expand, like use that as an example?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. First of all, you need to understand what a narcissist is.
Absolutely.
That's the key component of it. So if you were to watch 5 videos on somebody talking about narcissists and narcissism, that's unhealthy. Mm. This is how we find balance and not overstimulate ourselves. We would watch something like that. Okay, how to deal with a narcissist, that might be okay. But again, now you're kind of diving into like falling into this trap of a cesspool of like too much information about one topic. Then you want to like start sort of break down what are other aspects of things. What's the difference between a narcissist and like somebody that's not? Like, do you know the difference?
Cool. Okay, makes sense.
You know?
Yeah.
But if you just keep diving into that, then eventually everybody's going to become a narcissist.
Absolutely. I mean, we're hearing this all the time. Like, I'm without my girlfriends. Like, he's a narcissist.
He's a narcissist. Yeah.
And it's
or
like,
even authenticity. If, you know, and by the way, now we can script stuff from ChatGPT.
Oh, yeah.
So there's language that people use a lot that you know is that I can tell you that's like, it's been written by AI. Mm. So we haven't even dove into that, but like
that could be a completely different episode, which we should absolutely have.
We should. But yes, I will just say that, you know, that's what I would do. And I really want to make sure that I emphasize like how you're curating and digesting the information means a huge deal. If you're one of those people that you love listening watching docuseries, documentaries, that's all about doom and gloom. You love listening to podcasts about trauma and how people overcame trauma. You want to balance that with the other side of things. You want to introduce levity. Levity as in like humor, fun. You know, it's cool as to have. And then the serious stuff. So every story about trauma, you want to actually compound that with another story about healing and another story about overcoming adversity. One of the best stories I love is Viktor Frankl's, like, you know, Man's Search for Meaning. Changed my life when I read it. Read it again. I love The Alchemist.
Okay, I have to read it.
The stories of adversity and overcoming adversity. That's going to be better for your mental health. And you don't need to be in this, like, I got to be positive all the time. That's not what I'm saying.
No, it's not real.
But you're not finding balance if you're deep diving into all the negative stuff. Because then what you think is, it's reshaping your perspective and your narrative. And you may think that people talk like you and they don't. You may think people think and agree with you and they don't. This isn't just about me. It's a we. It's a collective. So always search for ways of how you can help someone grow. So the growth mindset isn't just growing within. Also look for ways to contribute.
Growing outward.
Yes. Always look for ways to contribute. Some of us that are in pain, some of us that aren't sure about things, and we're like, I don't know what to do. You know, take that energy into contribution and just say to yourself, I would like to do something for someone. It could be something as simple as when you go to your coffee shop, you pay a little extra so the next person doesn't have to pay for theirs. Or you see a homeless person on the side of the road and give them like
your extra food snacks in the car.
Absolutely. Yeah. But if you're really good at something, maybe offer a little bit of like that professional support or that personal support with somebody that you know needs it. Maybe they haven't verbalized it, but you're just like, hey, just checking in with you. Hey, I'm just curious. Would you be open to me like helping you out with this one thing? I just thought of you when I was thinking of this. I'm doing it for myself. I just want to help you out. Like those things, it produces more value for you. And by the way, you doing those things ends up somehow, some way answering those questions that you had for yourself. Man, I can never find anybody that treats me and values me the way that what do I have to do? You should be asking yourself, like, are you showing up for yourself?
Yeah.
Right?
What's your side of the table?
Just take ownership of it. Take agency of it. And then you know what? If nobody is showing up for you, if your phone ain't ringing off the hook, it's dry. If no text messages are coming in, it's a hard desert. It's dry. And you're like, what's everybody? And you're feeling lonely and sad and depressed. That is an opportunity for solitude. That is an opportunity for a timeout. And why not take an extra proactive step of being a blessing to someone else?
CJ.
As small or as large as you want. What typically happens is the very next day, your phone won't stop fucking ringing and you'll be overwhelmed again. Yeah. So take that as like a sign to chill. Don't take it as a sign that nobody loves you and that you should feel depressed.
No.
Right? And contribution goes a long way.
CJ, I loved everything you just broke down for us. Like, that was probably my favorite, like, syllabus step section. Like, awesome. The way that you highlighted everything, I've never even heard it in that way before. So I really appreciate you.
Thank you.
To wrap things up,
yeah,
I have a little game for you.
Sure.
It's called, like, fill in the blank, if you heard of that before.
Okay.
Okay. Hmm. So, regardless of blank, I am blank.
Ooh. Regardless of life's challenges, I am very proud of how I deal with things.
I'm so proud of you. CJ, you're a freaking rock star.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to share this with everyone.
Yes.
And where can people purchase the McGuire Method if they want it?
The McGuire Method is
at
Barnes & Noble online. It's at Amazon online. It's actually, you can purchase it anywhere online. Everyone.
Follow CJ Johnson on Instagram.
Yes.
At CJ Johnson.
Junior.
Oh, frick. Really?
No. Well, no. It's at CJ Johnson Junior is my social handle.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't see the junior part before. No, but
that's cool.
Sick. CJ.
Yay.
This was so awesome.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Regardless.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Regardless. If today's conversation sparked a mindset shift or inspired you, we want to hear from you. For more Regardless, make sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Join the conversation on Instagram and TikTok at Regardless the Pod for updates and resources. You can also find me personally at Skylar Sorkin on Instagram and TikTok. New guest episodes drop on the first and middle Monday of every month. Plus, mark your calendars for our monthly office hours with my mom, a therapist, and I, where we answer all of your burning questions on the last Monday of every month. Remember, babe, regardless of what you're going through right now, you've got this, and I'm in it with you. Stay electric.